We'll rest high on the mountain one of these days soon. Let me read to you in Revelation chapter 22. Amen. Chapter 22 and 7. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings, the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Amen. And he saith, this is this redeemed man, and incidentally, redeemed people have much to do with the book of Revelation from the fifth chapter on. Amen. Fourth and fifth chapter on. There are a group of redeemed that go to heaven. The body of Christ goes to heaven first. They become the elders up there around the throne. One of those elders introduced the Redeemer. Amen. And many times the angel that makes a revelation to John is one of these elders. This possibly is another one of them, and he tells us who he is. He refuses worship. And he tells John to worship God, and he says, "I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, and them that keep the saying of this book, worship God." Amen. You see, a great segment of the professed church today, the ones that's ready for the rapture, as we call it whatever you want to, write it off completely and call it a catching away, catching up, change, whatever you want to call it. There's a bunch that's going, and they're going to participate vitally and efficiently and completely with Christ in the complete revelation, as you know the book of Revelation called the Apocalypse. Praise God. Amen. Not only are they going to not be caught in the tribulations that make up and the apocalyptic happenings that make up the horrible things that happen in this book as God puts in his sickle to rid the earth of sin and get it ready for the millennium. Amen. And rescue everybody out of it he possibly can. Not only are they not going to be here when these things happen, and if you will live for God, you won't be here either. You will be participating with him in the judgments of men and angels, just like the Bible said. Praise God. What did he further state? Verse 10. And he said unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." This redeemed man tells us that the time is at hand. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." Boy, things winding up fast now, aren't they? "He that is holy, let him be holy still." Then listen to verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly." Amen. That's the second time he uses the word quickly in the 22nd chapter. "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. And they enter in through the gates of the city, into the city. I want you to notice, in this day of antinomianism is the absence of law. No law. Anti-law. Anything goes. Even in church today, you can find a justification. They are finding a justification for homosexuality, lesbianism, everything else in the world. Amen. It only takes a theologian with a glib tongue and a play on words. Amen. And they can Sheol and Hades, hell, right out of the Bible. That's what L.D. Moore said. Amen. Said we've Sheol and Hades, hell, right out of the Bible. Amen. It's still in there. Praise God. Amen. glory to God. It's interesting to note that he said blessed, that means very, very happy, are they which do his commandments. Amen. We're living in a day, even in Pentecostal circles, where they say, you don't have to do anything. If you tell people have to do anything, it makes your salvation depend on works. Amen. So when Brother Henry Redmond over on West Side several years ago, I went over to hear him because he's from Arkansas. He was preaching out of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and he said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he said, if you don't get too mad at me, said the period belongs right there. And he erased the rest of that verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I kind of got red behind the ears because there's a bunch of liberals shaking their head and saying amen and and amen. I was getting red behind the ears all the time. So the first thing I did was walk up to him and say, when I shook hands with him, what are you going to do the rest of that verse? And he said, well, he said, that belongs in the 4th verse. I said, what does it make any difference? Whether it's in the last half of the 1st verse or the 4th verse. He said, because it makes your salvation depend on works. He said, do you believe that you believe that salvation depends on works? I said, yes. I knew that's what he wanted me to say, and so I said, yes. Amen. He said, well, scripture and verse. I said, try the whole book of James for a starter. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you mess with the word of God. Amen. You come under the condemnation of the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Amen. And we don't want to mess too much with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Especially when we're Pentecostal people and know better. Yeah. And have actually preached better. Yeah. Amen. That dear brother was preaching at a meeting up somewhere. Another charismatic church, amen, and bought his lunch at a quick food restaurant and was walking across the street with his lunch in his hand, and a car ran over him and killed him. And I thought of the plagues that are written in this book. Amen. I believe, folks, there's a better way to die. Amen. Than to fall under the judgment of God. Amen. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Once again, works are involved if you're going to get in the gates. You're going to have to do something. Amen. What? His commandments. Hallelujah. You got to do what he said. Nowadays, folks don't care. Amen. I mean, they don't care. Praise God. For without are dogs. That don't mean German shepherds, poodles, St. Bernards, Airedales, pointers, setters. Amen. German police dogs. That don't mean that. It means people that have gone to the dogs. Best way I can term it. Amen. People that have gone to the dogs. I mean, people are doing things today that dogs wouldn't do. People are doing things today that dogs don't do. Amen. Glory to God. Without our dogs and sorcerers. Sorcerers is taken from the Greek word pharmakeia. Amen. Which means those that deal in drugs and drug abuse. Amen. Oh, glory. And whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. Saw advertisement several years ago. A brother pointed out to me about Christian fiction. Amen. You know what fiction is? It's lying on paper. It's telling stuff that never really happened. Amen. I wonder about Christian fiction. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. At least when we illustrate, we ought to illustrate a real truth. Amen. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That means they need to know in the churches, they that do his commandments are blessed and have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. Amen. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That's a pretty serious indictment. Amen. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in the book. That's pretty serious. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. This Bible I'm preaching out of tonight was given to me by Sister Fox up at the Full Gospel Tabernacle, October the 1st, 1974. She wanted to give me a Bible. And so she gave me her own family Bible, and she cut out the family statistics out of the front, kept them, and on the next page wrote, presented to Reverend Collins by Sister Fox, October the 1st. Excuse me, I said 74, 1970. Amen. While I was pastoring Full Gospel Tabernacle. Amen. Between the book of Revelation and the concordance is a notation in this Bible. I thought about copying it down. I thought, why copy it down? I'll just take the whole Bible, church, and preach out of it. So here it is. from the flyleaf of D.L. Moody's Bible, said the Bible sets forth two things, the cross and the throne. The Old Testament points toward the cross, and the gospel tells the story of the cross. The epistles point toward the throne. The revelation tells the story of the throne. The Old Testament tells us of what sin leads to and ends with the words, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:6. The New Testament shows us the way out of sin and ends thus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Revelation 22:21. Amen. I like to preach. The time is at hand. It won't take long. Amen. Several times, Revelation 22:17, he said, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:12, he said, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:10, he said, the time is at hand. Revelation 22:20, he said, surely I come quickly. It's all in red in your Bible except the one that says the time is at hand. That's the one that was spoken by that saint of God that gave John the revelation. Amen. Folks, amen. We're living in the day that it's about to happen. Could I preach for the next few moments? So soon? What does quickly mean to you? What does the time is at hand mean to you? What does surely I come quickly mean to us tonight? Amen. I'll tell you what it means. It means so soon. So soon. Praise God. Behold, I come quickly. 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 The time is at hand. Surely. What phraseology he uses. Surely. I come quickly. That means it's a sure thing that he's coming so soon. I remember a time when you preached like this, it would strike terror in the hearts of people that heard it. We've heard it so long and so much, amen, that nobody even gets disturbed when you preach like this. We become jaded and familiar. Our familiarity has jaded our minds. Amen. Let me point out tonight that Psalms 102:16 says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, the King shall come in his glory. Let me point out to you tonight that Zion is being built up. Hallelujah. I can't keep up. I just can't fathom. Amen. When we went the last time, they had four-lane roads all the way around the Mount of Olives. I mean on the backside, J.C. Amen. Strange. You didn't know where you was at. Amen. They've tore up so many old sites, and they've Americanized Jerusalem. They're building four-lane roads from Amman, Jordan, all the way to Jerusalem. Making it as modern as they can, as quick as they can. Amen. Apartment houses, homes built up in Jerusalem, and its environs. Amen. The city is enlarging. It's bursting out the walls. The capital city of Israel has been transferred to Jerusalem. It's not Tel Aviv anymore. Amen. Since the Six-Day War, they have taken back Jerusalem. Now let me point out that in the book of Luke, Jesus said that Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot, Luke 21:24. Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Amen. There's just one part of Jerusalem that they don't have tonight. And that's about a half a mile section, more or less. Probably not quite a half a mile. Where the temple one time stood. Amen. Stretching along the Kidron Valley. Amen. The eastern gate all walled up. Amen. On this side. Over here is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It takes in all area where they say the pinnacle of the temple is. Where if you jumped off, you would fall about 75 foot to the ground or more. Amen. Over here in the center is the Dome of the Rock of a quarter or a half a mile. Amen. This is trodden underfoot by Arabs. Amen. I mean, fanatical Arabs. Amen. They don't want nobody to move that microphone a little bit there. Know that? They don't want nobody desecrating their sacred area. The Al-Aqsa Mosque, right here, amen, is one of the Arabs' most sacred temples. That's right there. Amen. The Dome of the Rock, amen, is one of the most beautiful of all the Arab temples. Sets right in the center. That's where Muhammad allegedly rode a white horse to heaven and back. Amen. If this piano was square, amen, underneath there, the Jews have begun to dig. They've got a tunnel that goes all the way through here. Amen. And you can go in there. And they've got over here and they've dug way back in under there. That it's raised such a protest of the Arabs. And they say they found the holiest of holies. I don't know. I know one thing. There's a bunch of zealous Jews that's looking for an excuse to build their temple. Amen. When I was in the Holy Land with the folks, the guide took us over here to a little shed over on the side. Amen. And said, folks, and he whispered almost. He said, don't even act like you're praying or anything, because I came over here once with a group and it said it looked like we was going to have a service. And said the Arabs came screaming from everywhere. Amen. Because they're guarding this sacred ground. The only reason the Jews haven't taken over this small piece of land in Jerusalem. This piano is about as big as in comparison to our 15 acres here that the church owns, more or less. That's all they don't possess. That's all they're not trotting. That's all the Gentiles have left in Jerusalem. Amen. That's all that the Jews haven't taken over yet. You know what our God told us? He said, this is right over the Holy of Holies. Amen. And he said, we have found out that there's room here to build our temple and not interfere with the Dome of the Rock, that sacred mosque. They've got everything ready to build a temple. They just need one more excuse. All they need is one fanatic to blow up the Dome of the Rock. One erratic scud, amen, to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Amen. One good excuse, and they will take over the rest of Jerusalem. Right now, they go to this wall, and they weave back and forth, and they pray. And hundreds and hundreds of people, amen, they have to tarry outside. The young boys come to receive their bar mitzvah, amen, and the ladies holler and yell and throw things on them as they, amen, become of age. And we take pictures of them as they do those things. Why do they come to the Western Wall, they call it? The Wailing Wall, they call it. Because they can't go no farther. Amen. They know that if they force the issue of the Temple Mount, amen, that it would arouse the fanatical, suicidal zeal of every Muslim nation in the world. And they would be down their throats. Suicidal zeal. Amen. Ah, not that Israel is all that worried. Amen. But America is still financing Israel. Amen. Israel is not as orthodox as we might think they are. Most of them are atheists. Don't pray, don't believe in God. Amen. Don't keep the law, and they'll tell you that. Those that work as guides, they're atheists. They don't pray, don't keep the law. And they tell you that. The only reason they're back is because they are J-E-W. And that's it. Just a Jew. That's another reason the Jews have it taken. There are a fanatical group living in Jerusalem that overnight they would suicidally take it over if they would let them. Amen. There are a group of politicians that are just looking for an excuse to dig a foundation over here, Jerry. Amen. And build their temple. If they have to, right beside the Dome of the Rock. Amen. I was surprised standing there in my Western hat. Amen. It's good to wear because we go a lot of times in the rainy season. It keeps the rain off my glasses. And so it serves as a double purpose. It keeps the wind, amen, out, and it keeps the rain off my glasses. So I wear my Western hats to Israel. Amen. And amen. I've got a lot of statements about it. Amen. But anyway, I go ahead and wear them anyway. Amen. Well, I was standing there. I'd been in the Dome of the Rock several times. And I was standing outside guarding the shoes. Had to pull your shoes off. Guarding the shoes and guarding the purses and guarding the cameras. Amen. And a whole bunch of Jewish soldiers came up and kicked off their shoes. Amen. We traded hats long enough for me to put on one of their berets. And those special Jews, Temple Mount guards, amen, got ready to take a tour of the Dome of the Rock. They kicked off their shoes and walked through it right with the rest of the tourists. And I thought, how can they do that? Amen. They said they're the temple guard. Amen. And they've got to be able to have access to any part of it at any time. That's one of the agreements. And I was awed as that dozen or so Jewish soldiers walked right through the Dome of the Rock and out again. Not Muslims, Jews. Amen. I was awed. Amen. The Jews are looking for an excuse. Have they really dug under? If they've dug under that far and they've found what they think is the Holy of Holies and they've got it all pinpointed up here, Amen. Look out, folks. Something's about to happen. This half a mile or less, more maybe like a quarter of a mile, on top of that mound, Moriah, is all that's left for the Jews to have to take over. When they get that, look out. Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Oh, well, that's my commentary on it. Maybe you have another commentary. Maybe you'll find someone else that has another commentary. But what do you make of it? When the Bible said in the Old Testament, when the Lord shall build up Zion, the King shall come in His glory. Amen. Big, tall, tourist hotels built around Jerusalem. Amen. We was up there on that morning about 9 o'clock and I was down on my knees praying and I just started praying, calling in depth the Lord's Prayer, and I got to the part, "Thy kingdom come," and the hotel began to shake. I told my wife I prayed one of the most earth-shaking prayers that I ever prayed. Amen. I said, "Wife, we're having an earthquake." He interrupted my prayer. I said, "We're having an earthquake." Amen. Some folks was in the elevator, and the elevator started shaking back and forth. Was that you, Brother Sexton? The elevator started shaking back and forth and bumping against the walls. Amen. Earthquake. They was having an earthquake down in the Gulf of Aqaba. And it shook the hotel all the way to Jerusalem. They played it down, as they often do. They didn't tell how much damage, how many people got killed. We had to get all the way over into Egypt, Cairo, Egypt, before we learned the devastation down around the northeast shores of the Gulf of Aqaba. Amen. We found out it was worse than they said. That's the modern propaganda machine that suddenly falls apart when there's something happens that's detrimental. Something happens that might give the enemy an idea that we're being weakened. And of all things, that God might be against us. I want you to know, folks, that He's going to rise and shake terribly earth. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. And that's going to happen before He makes His second advent. If He said He's coming soon. If He said in the last chapter of the book, quickly, quickly, surely quickly. If He said the time is at hand, do you think we're out of our place and out of school for preaching it? Do you think we're out of our place and out of school? Amen. You think we're jumping the gun by telling our generation and warning them to get ready? I already told you the other night, if we don't watch, our children won't watch. If our children don't watch, our grandchildren won't watch. And the first thing you know, there's nobody watching. If there's one thing Jesus made clear, amen, in Mark's gospel, He said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Amen. I think one thing that's wrong with the church and their standards today, they're not watching. I think one reason there is an outbreak of antinomianism. It's a disease. Amen. People call it being in bondage. You know why? They're not watching. Amen. Even some that one time preached that Jesus is coming soon. Pat Robinson, Oral Roberts, they don't preach it anymore. The world's going to get better and better. And we're going to usher in the millennium, amen, by affecting politics. No, we're going to usher in the millennium when the church is raptured. Amen. And God's judgments are poured out on the earth. Hallelujah. And great judgment is effected. Hallelujah. Then we'll live and reign with Him for 1,000 years. The world's not going to get better and better. History denies that. It's getting worse and worse. In fact, that's the very words the Bible said. Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. Amen. Surely I come quickly. The time is at hand. When anything's at hand, that means it's close enough that you almost reach out and touch it. He said it's at hand. It's so close and so delicate tonight. I don't know why it hasn't happened already, tell truth. Amen. But it's at hand. Praise God. It's so close. The time is at hand. Hallelujah. Let that soak in. Young people, let it soak in. Amen. The time. Amen. This box, if it was time, and it's at hand. Hallelujah. That means I can almost reach it. And if I can just get my hands around it, I can get it. I can pick it up and see what's in it. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to get that book soon. Amen. The Lamb's going to prevail. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, surely I come quickly. Surely just about time. Hallelujah. And they're going to present Him that book. And He's going to open those 7 seals. Amen. You know what that saint that gave John the revelation said? The time of these things is at hand. Don't you forget it. And if Jesus comes in the morning, amen, be reminded that there's a gospel preacher that warned us one more time. The time is at hand. Hallelujah. The Old Testament tells us what sin leads to, and it ends with the words, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The New Testament shows us the way out of sin and ends thus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. We're living in the time, folks. We need the grace of God. Somebody preached the other night, we need a double portion. Praise God. Elisha realized he needed a double portion because people already got case hardened to Elijah. The kids that came out and mocked Elisha and said, go up, thou bald head, shows the attitude that they had already had toward the first one. And so Elisha needed a double portion for his day to overcome that. Amen. Prophesying against those kids, those young people, those rebellious teenagers. Amen. And 2 she-bears came out. And they had 42 funerals in that town because they had no respect for God. And His prophet. It's going to be worse than that in Hamilton. It's going to be worse than that in Cincinnati. It's going to be worse than that in Dayton. Folks, if it's this bad now, what's it going to be when the church is gone? If it's this bad now with the salt of the earth here and the light of the world here and a Bible on every pulpit, praise God, in every hand and every house, if it's that bad now, what's it going to be when the church is gone? What's it going to be when the light of the world has gone to the next one? What's it going to be when the salt of the earth is taken out and there's nothing to preserve no more? If there's rot now, it'll be rank then. Amen. I'll tell you that America will become second rate overnight when the church is gone, because there's so many saints holding it together. Amen. I'm telling you that every nation in the world will become second rate, especially those highly populated with Christians, after the church is gone, who will become first rate. After the church is gone and the influence of the church is gone, the spotlight will switch immediately to Jerusalem and the Jews. That's his heart throb. Amen. He's got one more week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Seven more years. He's got to wind up. Amen. He's got to open that seven seal book. He's anxious to get after it. Praise God. He's coming quickly, folks. Hallelujah. The church is soon to make its departure. The body of Christ is destined to make its escape in the morning. Stand with me tonight as they come to sing. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the body of Christ. And what a blessed influence it's been on my life. What a blessed influence it's been on the lives of those that are here tonight. This good church and these wonderful folks, these dear saints. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Hamilton, in Cincinnati, and America, across the country through the years. How good you've been to us. How we've been blessed by the Bible. How we've been blessed by revival. How we've been blessed by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that same Spirit's going to raise us up at the last day, both from the grave and change those that are alive and remain in the twinkling of an eye. And caught up together, we'll meet the Lord in the air. I pray, Lord, you save my friends. Don't let none of our friends, don't let none of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren go to a devil's hell. Oh, God, save them all. I pray as we prepare for the soon coming of Jesus Christ, wash us, make us clean, iron out every wrinkle, cleanse out every spot. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Are everywhere. Amen.